So today's passage, honestly, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. So let's get there. Let's ramp up the stairs and let's get there with all the Beatitudes. It says in Matthew 5:2, if you have a Bible, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit, I know how needy I am. I'm impoverished spiritually. I'm impoverished spiritually. When I come to you, I'm impoverished. Every day I'm impoverished. I need to reboot every day. And then after that, blessed are those who mourn. I mourn what it cost you, Abba. I mourn that to come rescue me from me and my sin and being a slave to sin, you know, I mourn what it cost you. You gave it all up. You gave you up. You gave the throne up, the pain. And then as we're ramping it, then blessed are the meek, and some translate that humble. How could that not be humbling, that you would do that for me? I need to be humble. That's why it's so important to know both verses in Ephesians 3. It's Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. And I missed 21 for a while. For it says, unto him was able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all you would ask or imagine. 21, to him be all glory forever and ever. Amen. The number of people that came up to me Saturday, this is hilarious, and thanked me for the weather. Thank you for this weather. And I said, well, I'm pretty sure I didn't make this weather happen Saturday, 1, 2. And I'm pretty sure when we planned it, we had no idea about the weather. So I appreciate you thinking I have God powers, but I didn't do it. Yeah, no, humble, humble. And then about our cravings. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Can I say everyone hungers and thirsts for something? I'd be happy if. I'll be happy when. I'll be satisfied. Hunger and thirst just for righteousness. Just for righteousness. It's been an interesting thing. We were talking about it earlier this morning about my back. I've been so focused in my prayer life on my back and hungering and thirsting for no more pain in my back. And then all of a sudden, last week, last Wednesday, men's Bible study in Fort Lauderdale, 3 guys, pancreatic cancer. One's probably not going to make it, and he's 52. And I'm backing up realizing, wow, I don't have any problems. Then I come over here and Saturday, and I'm walking around too much, way too much. And Rosemary keeps saying, get back in the golf cart, get back. I said, the golf cart's just as uncomfortable, so let me do both. And so at the end of the day, my back was screaming like yours, screaming. And I get up the next morning, and my back hardly hurt. I mean, it's not right yet, but it hardly hurt. And I'm realizing a couple of things you've said, Charlie, but Rosemary said, so why do you think, and I hate when she does this, because she already knows the answer. She just wants it to come out of my mouth. Why do you think your back feels better? And I said, I don't know. I'm sure you're going to tell me. Because you got up and walked around rather than sitting in this chair with ice on your back all the time. She said, she didn't say it like that. It came in my ears like that. She's nice. She didn't say it like that. And I realized she's right. I need to be moving. And you've said that too, Harvey. I need to be moving. I need to be. And so, wow, as soon as I took this absolute hunger and thirst in my prayer life after me, my back, then all of a sudden, the next Saturday, I'm walking around and bam. Now, I want to say to God, you could have done that a year ago, but I'm not. I'm kidding. I'll take it. Then it goes on to say, blessed are the merciful. How could I not be merciful to people around me when I know the mercy he's shown me? He's the one that knows what goes on through my head. And that verse 30, 40 years ago that just took me out, where it says, you've heard it said you should not commit adultery, but I say if you even look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. Really, Lord? Then how do you live in South Florida with Brazilians? How look at the way they dress and walk. How? Bob, stop. Take captive every thought, son. Take captive every thought. Yeah. Merciful, and blessed are the pure in heart, the pursuit of purity. And then today's verse, blessed are the peace, and I want to emphasize, makers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Or I love the NLT better. God blesses those who work for peace. Who work for, not just try to keep the peace. No, that's not what it is. It's work for peace. It doesn't mean we're going to have the same opinion. I mean, we don't even have the same opinion within our families. It doesn't mean we're going to have the same opinion, but it means the relationship with the people around me is more important. It's more important. It's very interesting. During the last presidential election, I had a sign in my front yard, and two doors down, they had the other sign on the front yard. And Rosemary said, have you noticed he's avoiding eye contact? And I said, yeah, I am a little bit too. And she said, stop. This is the person you need to go after more than anybody in our neighborhood. And just be their friend. And don't talk about it. Don't talk about the election. Just talk. And maybe one day he'll come and ask you why. He hasn't, but maybe he will. And it's my job. A couple that lived about 5 or 6 houses down. And it's my job. Are we going to be on the same page? No. Jesus wasn't on the same page with the people he loved on. But he loved on them. It's about relationship. Choosing to work for peace is what Christ followers do, what a Christ follower does. If I don't or am not willing to work for peace, work for peace, it's questionable if I'm a Christ follower. Am I even a Christ follower? I mean, I'm amazed that they spit on the creator of the universe. And the first chapter of John tells us it's Jesus that spoke the word and world into existence. Spit on him, beat him, and do we realize at any second he could have just stood up and said, you're done here? You're done? And when we get to heaven, I want to see the video of the angels, 200 million angels. And we've talked about this before. They're not the fat little doughboys on Valentine's cards. They're warriors. And how? Looking down, they had to be looking down at God, down, up, sorry, up on the throne of God. Do we go now? Do we go? No. He came to bring peace between me and my children. That's our job. There's a reason you work where you work. There's a reason you interact with who you interact with. There's a reason, there's a reason, there's a reason, there's a reason. There was a waitress, I've talked about her before, at the tavern that Rosemary got very close to Tricia, talking about Tricia, very close, very close, very close. And finally she agreed to come to church with us for the first time. Can I just say, she had nothing on. I mean, she had a little bit on, but nothing on. And my friends at church are walking by me. I'm here, Rosemary's here, she's there, and they look at her and look at me and how uncomfortable I am and burst out laughing and watching it, and she came back, and she came back. And watching her life begin the process. I don't know, she's vanished. Do you have any idea where she is?
She's there.
Is she still? Okay. But anyway, our job is to bring peace. You know, we don't have to agree on the area of our disagreement to make peace. Just between the two of us as people. Just as people. We live in a culture today where it's a culture of hate. And it's a culture of hate it's become an anarchy. Hate. Christ followers can't do that. You know, I remember seeing pictures of Billy Graham sitting at a meeting or lunch with people that I wouldn't think Billy Graham would be with this person. Really? Oh, he's bringing peace. And after he died, the number of people you wouldn't have thought ever came to Christ because of Billy Graham. It's a bigger picture. It's not that I get this, that I need. It's a bigger picture that we bring you to the people, that we bring you to the people. Getting along is different than agreeing on an issue. There are people I will never, ever, ever agree with. But he said, peacemaker, not peacekeeper. Understanding the inevitability of wars of all forms, we find Jesus challenging his followers to be his ambassadors of peace, peacemakers. Peacemakers, and it's so important that we don't see this as peacekeepers, peacemakers. Yeah, a peacemaker is not a person that avoids conflict at all cost. No, it's not an absence of conflict. It's not a conscientious objector. It's not a passive role. It's not a fun role by any means. And the number of times, and I hate, to be honest with you, I hate this, where I've been asked to come sit at a table with two parties that aren't, it's not working. You know, whether it's two brothers that owned a business or it's friends that owned a business and a lawsuit, and can you just come sit? And realizing the outcome is not my job. Being here to foster discussion is my job. The outcome, not my job. It's his job. You know, to think I can cause an outcome is just as ridiculous as those people thanking me for the weather. That was ridiculous. Do you even hear what you're saying? Thank you for this weather. Really? Yeah. There's a big difference between peacemaker and peacekeepers. A peacemaker actively does whatever it takes to attempt reaching the goal of peace. The goal of peace. So I happened to be in my office, and a guy comes to me and said, I've just discovered that my pastor's having an affair with my sister-in-law. What should we do? And I'm hearing the word we, and I said, well, let's see if we can find Billingsley. And so Billingsley, vintage Billingsley, Billingsley could have had the largest church in Florida, basically got up to 40,000 people, but he didn't believe that a church property should have more than 2,000, so he started 27 church plants, including potential. He's out front painting his own house. He's such a redneck from North Carolina. He's out front painting his own house, and we go and tell him, and he says, he looks at the two of us and says, gentlemen, let's go. I said, Pastor, where are we going? He says, we're going to the man's house, to the pastor's house. And I so don't want to be going to this house. And we get in because it's Billingsley. Billingsley could get in at any door in South Florida. And we're sitting in the living room, and he says, where's your wife? Ben, where's your wife? And calls her, and then he says, he opens up, do you love your wife? And he says, yeah, why? Then why are you having an affair? I understand you're having an affair. And I'm just kind of wanting to get between the cushions of the couch. And it was so intense. And it went on and on, and I watched something happen there. Someone had the courage to step up. Someone had the courage. Yeah, it's not a peacekeeper. It's active. It's active. A peacemaker must pursue certain character qualities in my life. Now, it's interesting. I've been an interim. I'm done, I think, I believe. I've been an interim, and the nice thing is it's not like they're asking, so it's been easy. I've been an interim in 22 churches, and going into some churches that don't want to deal with the issues, and as an outsider you come in and you realize there's a lot of issues here, from opulence to whatever, and the ones that don't want to deal with the issues, they get another pastor and he doesn't last, and they get another pastor and he doesn't last, and they wonder why. Yeah, but there's certain things we need to pursue. And one of them is we can't glaze over what's going on. My first car was a 1964 Plymouth Valiant. Anybody ever even heard of a Plymouth Valiant?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the old table has. Okay, good. And I got, it was up north, and sort of up north. Washington, D.C. wasn't exactly north, but that's where I lived all through undergraduate school. And it started rusting on the side. And I got a spray can and started covering the rust with spray can paint. And then all of a sudden, part of the side of the car fell off. And I think that's what we do if we're not careful. We just want to spray over it. Yeah, why don't we want to pursue what he wants us to do? And sometimes that's sitting in difficult situations. And so one of the answers is, a peacekeeper must be willing to tell it like it is. And not glaze it over with pretty paint. It doesn't mean tell it in a nasty way, an ugly way, but can I tell you something? Can I tell you what I'm observing? Can I tell you what I'm seeing? And I was at a restaurant. It used to be on Chuck's something or other on 17th Street Causeway, and I look back in the corner and I see a friend. He didn't know I was here. And he's with his secretary, not his wife, and it was a little more than normal. I mean, there is something. So I finished, I walked up to the table, and he looked up, and I said, can we get breakfast sometime? He said, yeah. And so we go out to breakfast a couple of weeks later. He didn't return my calls for a while. A couple of weeks later, he's an attorney in Fort Lauderdale, and we go out to breakfast, and I said, that didn't look right, man. And he said, well, I mean, she works for me. I said, it didn't look right. So whether it's wrong or not, there's a thing called appearance of evil. And I said, let me tell you a story. I said, there was a period of time pre-children where Rosemary's best friend lived with us. And Rosemary's best friend was a flight attendant, hers another old one, for National Airlines and a model. And she was there our first Christmas when I bought Rosemary a vacuum cleaner and a couple of other things. And Lucy made the statement, you should never get your wife anything with a motor for Christmas. And so she was there the next Christmas. And she said to Rosemary, I'm taking Bob shopping for you. Broward Mall just opened up on University. So we go in and we're buying all these things and clothes for Rosemary and all this. And we go out and we go to Houlihan's right there and have lunch together. And I have a friend walk in. And he's an electrician who had donated all the electrical work on the old campus. He walks in, he sees me sitting there with obviously not my wife, she was a blonde, turned around and walked out. And I, Lucy, I gotta go talk to him. And I go out and I'm telling him the story, and he's a brand new Christian and he's nodding his head. He didn't believe it at all. And that was the day, and it had to happen yesterday. That was the day I realized never, ever lunch with one other person being a female. And when Terry and Steve Griffith were getting in my car, the house parents, to take them out to eat, and Steve started to put her in the front seat, and I said, no, 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 you need to sit in the front seat. And he's looking at me, he said, you need to sit. Let Terry sit in the back seat. The windows are tinted. They won't see you sitting back there. Who's they? Anybody. Satan would love to have somebody pull up next to me at a light and see me in the car with a woman that's not my wife. Done. We have to be very careful. But we have to tell it like it is. It says in Jeremiah 16, this is so sad, 6, I mean, they offer superficial treatments for my people's mortal wound. They give assurance of peace when all is war. Mortal wound is sin. Sin is your mortal wound. And the heads of the temple, of the Pharisees and Sadducees, well, here's the rules. Obey the rules and give and take care of us. And no, no. Superficial treatments. It's not about the law. Letter B. A peacemaker must be willing to risk pain and rejection. Pain and rejection. Yeah, pain and rejection. Anytime we attempt, this is a Kent Hughes quote, one of the greatest, if you're ever looking for a Bible commentator, writer guy, Kent Hughes is a pastor outside of Chicago. Unbelievable. Quote from his book on Sermon on the Mount. Anytime we attempt to bring peace personally or societally, we necessarily risk misunderstanding and failure. We necessarily risk. You risk misunderstanding and failure. Who am I playing this game for? To be liked by everybody? No. Him. Use me, Lord. Yeah. And it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. The results of my effort are not up to me ever. The results of my effort are never up to me. Yeah, a peacemaker must be willing to be uncomfortable to pursue what is right. Uncomfortable to pursue what is right. Yeah, it's Romans 14:19. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Every effort to do what leads to peace. Peace in relationship. Peace in would my neighbors during a difficult time come to me and say, can I talk to you? Would they come to me and say, okay, you've been asking me to go to church forever. I'm ready. By the way, I handle them. I mean, Jesus didn't have anything in common with those disciples. And they were constantly, don't say that again that you're going to die. I mean, how do we take over this country if you keep telling people we're going to die? And we're already arguing over who's going to be your vice president, who's going to be greatest when you take over. They didn't get it. He still loved them. He still loved them. Yeah, a peacemaker must first be at peace with the Prince of Peace. I must be at peace. So I must come to the honest, why am I doing this? Why don't I just walk away? Why am I walking into the middle of this? Because the Prince of Peace wants me to do it. He wants me to be his representative. You know, the goal of my effort can never be primarily the outcome of my efforts, but rather the glory of God. The glory of God. You want to hear, there goes my son in whom I'm well pleased. Lord, I want to be like you. I want to be like you. Yeah, it's not about getting the right outcome. It's about pursuing it in the right way, in the right way. Peace, I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled about bringing peace. And do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Yeah. The unnatural action of choosing to be a peacemaker is the outward manifestation of my desire to live for Christ. This ministry demands involvement rather than isolation in our caves. It demands involvement. It's time for Christians to come out and love on the people around them. It's time for Christians to be generous. And when you're out going out to lunch or out to whatever, and the waitress sees you pray before you eat, huge tip. Huge tip. And we've said this before, Christians have a religious people have a reputation of being horrible tippers. Huge, generous, 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 generous. Why would you do that? And I'll never forget being out to lunch with a friend. And I know the waitress at the tavern, and I know she's hurting, and my friend, after we paid the bill, went back and left a $100 tip. And she came running out. She thought it was me. I said, it wasn't me, and I pointed to him. And she came running out, and this 80-pounder wrapped her arms around him and wept and said, this is too much, this is too much. She's never forgotten that. Wow. We can send lots of money to other countries, but we need to spend it here. Sorry, but we need to be changing lives here. Absolutely changing lives. Yeah, the unnatural action of choosing to be a peacemaker is the outward manifestation of my desire to live for Christ. We got to get out of our caves. Blessed, God blesses those who work for peace. And here's an interesting thing. For they shall be called children of God. Wow. The ESV says they shall be called the sons of God. Don't you want that? I want that. So the natural, the God blesses those who work for peace, for they shall be called the children of God. That's my son. That's one of my children right there. That's wow, we want that. You reveal you are a son of God when you attempt to make peace with the motive, glory to God, regardless of outcomes. Regardless of outcomes. Glory to God, regardless of outcomes. This is about you. So he's referencing our character here. Right motive, Bob. Right motive. Finally, my love and commitment to God should lead me to desire nothing but to be a son of God. To that end, he has called me to risk being a peacemaker. A peacemaker. So when Roby and Rob Pacienza were seniors at Westminster Academy, and they got this thought that there's faculty-run chapels on Tuesdays. Every Tuesday, different faculty of the chapel, and they got this thought, could students do it every now and then? Could students do it? And they went to the principal, who's a great guy, and he says, nah, let's not do that. And then they went, Roby and Rob Pacienza, who's the pastor at Coleridge now, went and said, are you okay with us going to the headmaster, Dr. Wackus? He said, absolutely. And Dr. Wackus said, let's try it for a month. And it ended up being 2 years, and a revival broke out. Not because of the way they taught, but because of him. But here's a funny thing that happened. I'm sitting up in the balcony with a friend at Coleridge, watching chapel, crying actually, watching chapel, watching Roby teach. And he comes walking across the stage, and my friend says, oh my. I said, what's that? He walks just like you. I want an angel to say to the Father, he walks just like you.
Amen. Yes.
He walks just like you. We can change this culture. We'd like to change it overnight. It's going to take the rest of our lives where we're impacting and we're radically generous. You know, it was so fun because at the Goliath Gauntlet, one of the single moms that lives here was over at the Calvary Chapel food truck. They brought their food truck, which was awesome. And she was over there with her friends and telling the whole universe about what goes on here. And I didn't know she was, I don't mess with them, so I didn't know. And asking her, how do you know? I live here. Okay. And watching her just tell the story of here. And you know what was the fun thing? She had no idea who I was. She didn't know I work here too. It was just perfect. This is yet the hardest thing we're going to do is be peacemakers in our own little worlds. Don't miss the opportunity. Walk like your father.